then she made a reservation. Another person who came to the restaurant. But.
Okay, we're discussing Kinsey. Present are
Steve,
Mary,
George,
Lenore,
Robert,
Rick,
Jane,
Richard,
and Mark. Lenore is by.
Who do you miss the most?
Rick is a troublemaker.
I love to tease the person on the phone.
I know.
Get in trouble doing that one. All right, moving on.
Did you say we're talking about Kinsey?
Kinsey. So, who wants to start?
Well, it's been 2 months since I saw it.
Yeah, really? I just saw it this week, so.
It's been about 3 hours since I saw it.
Somebody who goes the afternoon with the group.
What did you see it, Lenore?
Kinsey, I saw it over the weekend. A couple days ago.
That was a couple days.
It sure is lasting a long time. Must be growing on people.
Yeah, and it must be word of mouth, because usually when a film like that lasts, it's because it gets good word of mouth.
So Mark, you just saw it.
Oh, Rick, you mean
Rick? Yeah, I'm sorry. I
thought you were talking about Rick. Yeah, I just saw it. I think I had some aversion to seeing it. I don't know. I guess I felt like it was kind of like mainstream, like a little too maybe Hollywoodish. Kind of going in, and Liam Neeson's a really good actor, but I just, for some reason, I just couldn't kind of get to it, and I really enjoyed it. I really was glad I saw it. The only reason I think I saw it was because of this group. In other words, I would have probably seen it in a video or something. I'm really glad I saw it. It's a really well-made film, and I mean, the performances were great. Laura Linney is brilliant. I think she's brilliant in everything she does.
Yeah, I agree.
Except Mystic River.
Yeah, that was just, yeah, that. But that's the writing and stuff. I don't know. Her act, I just think, what happened was I went and saw her in, not to get off the subject of the movie, but I saw in video for the second time one of my,
You Can Count On Me.
You Can Count On Me.
That's a great
film. You Can Count On Me. And I just saw it. So I'll just talk a little high so you can hear me. She can hear me. I just saw it again, and I just love that film, and her performance is so great. So it was really fun to see her do those two roles, you know. I think it really sat. It's been sitting with me all. I saw it at 1 o'clock, actually. And it's been kind of with me all day. Like, it really is, like, his, the real Kinsey's life, like, you know, that preceded me, so, preceded my lifetime, so, or my, I was too young for that. So, I was really inspired by, like, how he, I mean, really changed the people's perception. It's just amazing. So, for a film to represent that this film, I think, really represented that in a really, like, it's a really good biopic, in other words. And the one thing I noticed at the end is I was waiting to see Alfred P. Kinsey died at blah, 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 and, you know, and he changed the way the world thought of this, and da, 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 and, you know. So the credits came on, and I was like, oh my god. And then I realized, oh, they told everything they needed to tell, or mostly everything whatever they wanted to tell. And they didn't have to show him in his deathbed. And I mean, although he was dying at one point, and then I guess he kind of bounced back to life a little bit. And then when Lynn Redgrave tells him how he changed, I was really inspired. I thought it was really, really well made, and
I thought her performance alone should be nominated.
Yeah,
because she was a highlight of the movie.
Oh, Lynn Redgrave,
a very small 5-minute part. Yeah. Boy, it was outstanding.
I didn't recognize her.
She did something with her mouth where she. You guys haven't seen it in a while, so I don't know if you remember, but.
Yeah,
she did this thing, and she
put
this little character thing. Yeah. I don't know, and I was like, oh my god, that's amazing for such a small role. Mm-hmm. You can tell she like totally dedicated herself to that little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, all the performances are good. That Peter Sarsgaard's pretty good, and Timothy Hutton. Come on, that guy was I've never seen him in a long time.
What did
he used to be a good actor. He's the guy with the mustache. He's the one they said that cut the mustache.
Yeah. But you mean what else is he in?
Timothy Hutton,
Which one? You can recognize him. And that Chris O'Donnell's a pretty good little actor.
John Lithgow was really good too.
What a dreadful father.
Oh my gosh.
But that was a very touching moment, you know, when Kinsey is interviewing him.
His father
says this, you know. What happened?
Does anybody have any idea how accurate this was biographically?
I assume.
Well, I think it was very accurate. The guy who wrote the biography, if you think that's an accurate biography, he was very involved with the film. I heard him speak on NPR, and and he did, you know, he really researched the whole gall wasp thing, and I mean, he was very into the whole early, pre what we saw.
He didn't let go of that.
I thought it was really well done, and I would agree with you. I would not have seen this movie if it wasn't for this group, because I don't know why. It just, I thought I wouldn't like it.
Well, it's very Hollywood biopic-ish, I thought.
And then I really liked it. So.
My understanding is that he never did interview his father, so that was...
Oh, really?
That was made up, yeah.
Oh. Where'd you get that idea?
From the Marin Group has discussed it, and someone there, a couple of people there.
Knew that from the book, or from...
Or perhaps from the NPR.
The NPR thing, yeah.
And we were wondering, too, did he only have that certain number of people doing the interviews? When they went all over the country, or were there more people involved? Because he must have took massive amounts of interviews to do his study, and could...
Well, I think there were definitely more than those three guys.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I mean, sake of a movie, you do something like that. You want to feature those three couples.
But that's a good point. They didn't allude to
the fact that this group was a lot bigger. There wasn't all men who were trained to take
it. Seemed like a little small enterprise.
But we didn't see that in the film.
Yeah, because he didn't do the women's book until after the men's book, right?
Right.
Was it women who interviewed women, or was it men who interviewed women?
I think they didn't. Women interviewed women. That's what they wanted to do, I think, wasn't it?
No, I don't know.
Well, they had men interviewing
men and women. Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it was interesting that they had that Liam Neeson plays this role of the scientist, and he speaks, you know, his lectures and all of his verbiage having to do with science and stuff, and yet you hear. In his voice, you've heard the documentaries that Liam Neeson has narrated, and I thought it was an interesting coincidence that I've heard him before in science documentaries, and here I hear this voice again on the screen portraying a scientist, and with the same tone of and same presentation of scientific knowledge, and I thought that was a really interesting thing.
What documentaries has he?
I've heard him narrate a couple documentaries.
I think he's done.
But the other thing too, what Rick was saying that how Kinsey had changed sex perception. You can think of Kinsey as doing it, and certainly he was responsible for taking the ball and running with it. But it's just the nature of the knowledge of all of this data and all of these women men who did this. And just that the scene with Vanessa Redgrave, that brings home the fact that it was just knowledge itself that was the changing force. It wasn't the force of his personality, although I'm sure that took it as far as it went.
Well,
but it was just the book and the knowledge itself. Of what they presented that changed people's perception and still changes people's perception.
Now that's Lynn Redgrave, not Lynn.
Sorry.
It just gives people the feeling I'm not the only one. Some people might have been doing something and it's like, God, this is so perverted or whatever. Just think nobody else does this, and then they found out people just do everything.
And from the scientific point of view. I mean, I think he's one person who really changed.
And why did he start with homosexuals? That's what's interesting to me. That was fascinating. It was like, you know, he... his own curiosity and his own bisexuality.
Explain that. He said he thought that... Didn't he say that he thought that gay men would be more likely to talk to another man about sex.
Exactly.
I don't know. I thought I heard
that's
that.
What I gathered from the bar scene.
He felt
like
it was,
on
the way into the bar, he's saying when they're walking through the bad part of town, you know, under the underpass, that it's like, here's a community that's just hasn't been studied. It's like, for a scientist, that would be like a, you know, a control group. Or it just, you know, it was a we're getting into people's living rooms and finding out about their sex lives. It's a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he saw it like as a scientific
and then
grouping
the
where he could walk into this bar.
And the
response of a lot of the guys I thought was hysterical, you know. But then there was some.
And then the guy that got branded.
Would talk to him.
Then remember the scene of the young guy that got branded, and it was like, wow, you know, like you could tell, like he just nailed it. He hit it on the head saying, these people want to, you know, these people need to talk, and there's trouble, you know, there's so much, some people who look so looked upon in that culture. It's like, especially in that day and age, and for him to say that, you know, someday, for him to say to that young man that someday we hope this will turn around or whatever. I don't know if he said turn
around. And the young man said, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Right, where he came from.
But I think they're making a statement there because it's like, you know, because we have evolved in terms of our, well, at least in this.
Well, we have.
Well,
and that's why it's so important that this movie came out when it did. Because there's still.
We're going backwards.
We're going way backwards.
Yes. And they said it's more
sure.
And the public radio station in, what was it, the NPR radio station in New York or Boston wouldn't advertise this film? What?
Really?
They told it?
NPR? No way.
It was either New
York
or
the NPR station.
Mm-hmm. You know, those little non-commercial commercials they have? Yeah, it was when we came out, they had it in the Embarcadero.
Yeah.
They had the New York Times article.
New York Times wrote it. Frank Rich wrote a really interesting article.
Oh, yeah, it's been picketed.
I meant to bring that, I forgot.
Yeah.
Anything overtly anti-religious or
no?
Right.
It's the same issues that were around in the 50s are still around. It just
deals with sex, and people just don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, and abstinence. I thought that was great that the guy who taught the hygiene class said, well, I cover that in my hygiene class. And will you talk about any kind of birth control or abstinence? And we're right in the midst of that right now. That's what's happening with the California textbooks. They just last month adopted the California health textbooks, and the only thing they mention about sex for teenagers is abstinence.
Wow.
That's now, folks. That's California.
Mary, what's the name of the English guy that played the professor? The hygiene guy. What's his name? You know
what is that
guy in Rocky Horror?
Rocky Horror.
Jerry.
I tell you the role that he gets now.
Yeah, from Rocky Horror to.
He's second grade. He's a really goofy role.
I think one of the funniest things in the movie is, I forgot who was doing the interviewing, but when he was interviewing somebody with an accent, he was asking him, when was the first time you did it?
Horse.
Yeah, the other guy was interviewing him, Chris O'Donnell, And then he goes, say, when did you start? Yeah. I did sleep with a donkey. How did you know that?
So we have lots of positive things. What about who didn't like it?
What did you think, Lenore?
Yeah, what did you think?
I liked it.
Well, I feel pretty neutral. I mean, there's things I appreciated about it. It didn't feel, in terms of filmmaking, it seemed pretty immediate. I mean, it was fine, but I didn't feel anything like innovative or exciting about it, or I didn't come out. I mean, it's good. I'm curious how accurate it is. It's interesting to me that the interview with the father was fabricated, so that raises to me what else was, played with. And I'm not necessarily, I think it's just tricky when you're doing something that's biographical. It's just an interesting boundary to touch, to fabricate something that is maybe have poetic truth that isn't literal truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that is interesting because
I thought it was interesting how it was touched on but never really dealt with that whole question about how his scientist mind insisted on divorcing sexuality from intimacy or emotion. You know, his whole idea that you could just do it with whomever and keep it separate. You know, it was touched on when his wife was devastated, and then it was touched on when the couple nearly fell apart towards the end. And I thought it was given kind of short shrift. Yeah, this wasn't the point of the film, but that would have been an interesting thing to me to explore.
And I would say that for me, the entire film was rather cold and clinical, sort of consistent mm-hmm. with that, but also consistent with the fact that he was approaching this in a very scientific way. So in many ways, it was a very appropriate feel for the film. But
yes and no. I mean, I don't think that necessarily follows. I mean, that is consistent, that you could just as easily make a film that really took that on.
Yeah. And I think I actually would have liked the film better had it taken that on.
But the issue that you're bringing up about infidelity and the whole feelings that Kinsey had when the assistant slept with his wife and he sort of had to give permission kind of thing, or not give permission, mm-hmm. but he just sort of, I mean, he's already created this whole world. To me, that was like, that's exactly what sticks with me. That's what I'm going to remember from this film is that, you know, it's really difficult to have those kind of relationships and to be open-minded without hurting somebody and without hurting the person you love. I mean, I just sat with a woman that got a friend of mine who's in the midst of a divorce from her husband. And they have two small children, and she's telling me all about it yesterday on the other day on New Year's Day, crying her heart out because he cheated on her. And this woman is feeling her guts, and I'm going, and she's talking about sexual addiction and her husband and how, you know, it's destroying her life and how she has to change it. And this is a real life situation I'm bringing up as a comparison, saying, man, it just, you know, infidelity just ruins people's lives. That's, you know, I'm all for, you know, for people being open sexually and for experimenting and all that stuff. But, you know, that's what struck me about this film. I think it was making a statement about that. Maybe you thought it was brushed over. Lenore thought it was brushed over, but I felt like that was kind of going right to the point that he's, mm-hmm. and now in his old age, you know, he made mistakes. Kinsey made mistakes. He did help people by writing these books.
Oh, yeah.
And clearly helped the Lynn Redgraves of mm-hmm. society, for sure.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think it was brushed over. I thought it was small, but it was repeated more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was actually a motif that I will also keep with me. As were other things. I mean, this was not an easy thing that they did.
The father-son relationship.
The father-son thing, yeah. which I don't care if it was fabricated, because I think, first of all, he didn't get very far in the interview. So maybe that's...
Yeah, he didn't really interview him.
Yeah.
He attempted to.
He just wrote down what he thought. And then he asked him.
So it's possible that that happened and that it never got recorded because it never went anywhere.
Oh, he talked about
it. So I think, poetically, I think that was all right. But I think some of the other things, the hard things that he came up against, like the guy who had sex with all the little boys.
Mm-hmm.
I think those things... And girls, yeah. I think those were small moments, but they really reverberated. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a very well-made film. I think it was way above average in terms of how it was made. I thought it was very well put together, and I thought Laura Linney's performance was so controlled and interesting. I mean, I would want to know more about her, about Mrs. Kinsey.
I liked how they used the device of what was it, Clive interviewing Kinsey as kind of the framing
mm-hmm.
device.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it opens with that right. interview and it kind of
that's how we get to
winds through the whole film.
History,
yeah. It comes back to that and ends with that.
Yeah, I like that too.
The Lithgow.
Hello, is anybody saying anything?
No.
We're all thinking. You're saying that the scene with his father was fabricated. That was the one scene in the movie that I didn't really believe. I didn't really believe that his father could open up.
I just didn't believe that could happen. It was a big
and
leap.
So
yeah.
I could see how it could be fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's wishful thinking or whatever.
No, that's true.
It's just didn't.
Well, also the day of the mother's funeral. You know,
right.
It was almost like it was almost like that was Kinsey's dream or something that never happened.
Yeah, but it didn't get
showing
far. It didn't really open up there. It didn't happen.
In Polar
Still.
Express, they could do anything they wanted because the kid was dreaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I kept watching Polar Express going like, and get away with
anything.
Anything
goes, yeah.
He's dreaming. It's all in his imagination. You know, how many times is he going to almost die? Did anybody see it?
No, I don't.
No thanks.
I liked responded to the personal side of his story. I thought it was very interesting. You know, all the sexual problems they had at the beginning of their marriage, and how that led him into thinking about researching sexual habits, like he would research gall wasps, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that I really responded to that personal, you know, his mm-hmm. story, his and his wife's, and also when he would interview those young people, and it was more than men. I guess it was before the formal research mm-hmm. when he started counseling all these mm-hmm. College kids and their complete lack of knowledge and
misinformation,
mythology, I'm sure it's still around. But when you think about how much more information, how much, you know, in our culture sex is talked about or depicted, and what a difference.
And that is also a very interesting statement he makes at the beginning of the first class to the college kids, where he says, "The information I'm going to deliver in here will be known to any child by the age of 12 in many societies around the world."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm.
And there they were with their crew cuts, and I thought that was some of that imagery was great too. Mm-hmm. Them having their swinging parties and talking about mm-hmm. you know, going home to screw and everything, and they have the 50s crew cut.
Does anybody? There's another movie that's about to come out about it's called The Inner Circle, and it's about the people mm-hmm. who were in Kinsey's inner circle and did the interviewing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Documentary, you mean?
No, it's a recreation.
Oh.
I guess a biopic.
This kind of stole their thunder, I would think.
Well, I think it would be an interesting one to go see. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the group ought to pick mm-hmm. it for our movie, but to kind of see, in light of this. What?
Good to know about it.
Yeah, it hasn't opened yet, to my knowledge, but I've read about it.
I've had that title, but I didn't know that's what it was.
Robert, what did you want to say about it? You said a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember what you guys are saying, but it didn't
resonate.
No. I didn't dislike it, but
I don't know.
In watching it, I thought it's totally different than Boogie Nights, but for me it was similar to that, in that in the beginning everything is great and they're finding all this information out, but then to see all these people mm-hmm. go down mm-hmm. at the same time, that it just, towards the end, it was hard for me to watch. I didn't. I was done with it.
To go down in what sense?
Like everybody in the beginning, it was all interesting. It was all everything mm-hmm. was good, but then the relationship started to fall apart. And
with all the couples,
with each other,
and him hurting himself and that kind of thing. I think he just went too far mm-hmm. with all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I lost interest in it.
Hmm.
I love the scene where Peter Sarsgaard suggests sleeping with his wife mm-hmm. and her reaction. Oh, I think I'd like that.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why the whole time I kept wanting to know more about her, because she was so interesting in the beginning, where she said she was a free thinker, and
mm-hmm.
and then we sort of only get little glimpses of it, because she's got to be the mom, and right. you know, the kids, it was interesting too, that the kids hated
table,
they hated the sex at the table.
He was embarrassed by his father.
The girls jumped right in.
They never readdressed that either. That boy left home and never came back.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the father-son relationship being repeated.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He's embarrassed by his father.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It would be tough to have him as your father.
It would be tough to have him
as
your father.
And what's those kids up to now?
And I love that it all happened in Indiana. You know, that's just so interesting that it's Middle America, and it's still, the Kinsey Institute is still in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and they still do incredible amount of research mm-hmm. and work, and it's still the leading sexology clinic or whatever in the country.
I like that.
In the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And it was funded by Rockefeller. Yeah. I don't think that would happen now. I think that would never happen now. So.
You sort of tricked that Rockefeller guy into into funding him. That's great.
I don't know about that. Really. Yeah, that was he seemed to be asking pretty intelligent questions, and to be he was walking into that with his eyes wide open.
No, but
he knew what the risks were, and he knew enough to caution Kinsey about, you know, you're not going to advocate sex, are you? You're just going to study it, right? You know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that he wasn't conned at all, you know. And I could see that the Rockefeller Foundation might do this prior to the whole mm-hmm. McCarthyism thing. And I could see them backing out for that reason,
right,
as well as everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just feel like I know something about that time in our society that I didn't know before 3 o'clock today. You know,
yeah, I'd heard the name, but I really didn't
knew the name, and I knew that it was a big impact, but that's it. I didn't know exactly why or anything about that person, and that's why I'm just glad that somebody made a film about it.
So nobody.
I don't have time to read those books. Yeah, I don't have time to read those books.
I'm not saying read
bestsellers that have never been read. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what their ammo, because they're huge books. Everybody bought them because they were about sex. But you know,
I think a lot of people looked at them.
Yeah,
when they first came out.
Well, it's a bestseller for a long time.
Yeah, for a long time.
Well, I mean, it would obviously be dated material now, but. I mean, or the language would probably be.
Although his language, he turns pretty straightforward.
I know, but I mean, we just hear about it on. Yeah. You know, if you get HBO, you don't need to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
the terminology is different now.
Although, like I say, these health books were adopted in the state of California. They don't talk about that in high school. They talk about it in abstinence.
There's one scene in the movie where a woman gets the book. And she looks at the book and looks how thick the book is. She puts down the book and gets a magazine
about it. Yeah.
And I think that's how most people get their information and got their information about the Kinsey reports is to read synopsis of summarizing the data. Nobody's going to look through all the data except somebody's really interested or understanding how to interpret scientific data.
Yeah.
They'd rather just read about it in a magazine and get their information, you know, the juicy stuff from the magazine anyway. Because that's all they're looking for anyway, the juicy stuff. They're not going to read the whole book.
Even more so.
Right.
People read less.
Well, and everybody was bored to tears at the party that was celebrating his millionth
gall wasp
thing. Bored to tears. It's the same thing. The point is that he's sort of a detailed, sort of, you know, nerdy guy no matter what. No matter what subject he's talking about.
I think this is a good film to see in conjunction with Vera Drake. You know, because it's both timely in terms of sex and things that we're moving against, or this society and this administration is moving against sex and
same era too, isn't it?
Yeah,
pretty
much.
Yeah,
World War '40s, late '40s, and then Kinsey was the '50s. Okay. So one sort of follows right after.
It was published in '48, I think.
Huh?
I think the book was published in '48.
So then it would be almost exactly the same.
His first book about the male.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because I remember that's the year I was born.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the book about the women came out in the mid-50s.
Well, that makes sense in terms of the McCarthy
thing. Because the McCarthy thing, that's when that was going strong. So, yeah, I think it's good that people are making movies about these topics.
I love that moment, the little interchange where he says to somebody, I don't understand why people hate this so much. And I think this is after the second book came out, and it may have been his wife who says, well, you're telling them that their mothers and their daughters masturbate? What did you expect?
Yeah.
You know? I just thought that was summed it up.
Yeah, that was really good.
And that he was a bit naive in the sort of...
Sure, because he's a scientist.
Yeah, he was
naive.
Right.
What's the difference, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what motivated him towards everything, was being a scientist. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think he realized what a stir he was going to create?
No.
He
had no idea.
He might have had a little wondering, but I don't think basically, no.
Because it was a subject that wasn't talked about, so I would assume somebody taking the first step might think he'd be creating shockwaves, but it didn't appear like he
thought. Well, he probably thought, why shouldn't people talk about this? Yeah. I mean, the way he thought, it's like people should be talking about this.
Would it help
but
him
he doesn't.
Yeah, would have helped him and his wife then to be in their first night together or
yeah.
their first
yeah.
first months together.
Yeah.
They would have never got past that had it not been for them to go
yeah.
see that doctor that
the doctor had
that helps them.
Attitude.
I don't know what he did for
them.
Next thing I know, they're having
yeah.
something.
I know what he did.
Doggy style, but
yeah, probably. I don't know for sure. Probably surgically broke her hymen.
Oh.
So they can
oh, it'll only
sex.
Take a minute, yeah.
Yeah, he snipped something.
It'll only take a minute, okay.
And then they went right at
her.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of, I thought they were going to make love in the forest when they were in their
70s. Oh, I did too. I think there's a sexual
yeah.
tension that's supposed to be in the red.
Yeah, but they're
yeah.
little, they, yeah, they're past that, I guess.
Yeah.
It's kind of outdoors.
Trees.
Little, yeah.
it was
really
nice too because it showed they really loved each
yes,
other. Those
I
two, like they were just made for each other. Even all the crap he went through with sleeping with other people and she sleeping with other people, they really loved each other and stuck together through all of
right,
that.
And then by that time they had such a deep love for each other and deep connection.
Yeah.
I really felt that very strongly. I thought that was one of the loveliest moments of the film.
See, that's another thing too, like bringing more out about her. I think intellectually she was on the same level as him.
Yeah.
And they never really showed
yeah.
that too much.
Yeah, that was disappointing. Mm-hmm. Although she did have to raise three children.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like it happens
yeah.
now. You take a step back and you
right, but
raise your children.
But back then it was more nowadays that woman might have a career or might
right.
be an equal with her and they may co-raise the children or whatever
right.
but back then the woman's place is in
right.
the home more
yeah.
and
yeah.
right and
yeah. no, she, that's
even
why I thought
she was
so fascinating though, and the free thinker, and that she didn't say yes when he proposed. She kept him hanging.
Did you know she kept going to his classes?
Yeah,
she,
right, and
she
kept going
like
to his classes
like a student of his
yeah.
too.
That was really
interesting.
Of course, everybody went. The dean went. The
yes.
Classes were getting really crowded. Standing room only.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine in the 50s? I mean, now there's still the biggest classes of state are still the sex classes.
Really?
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, to think in the 50s with that, you know, the difference between
40s.
The 40s, that's right. The book came out in, yeah. I keep saying thinking 50s because of the crew cuts, but 40s. Yeah, fascinating.
The scene where they meet on the picnic grounds.
Yeah.
And her comment,
mm-hmm.
you're the only unattached male, and I'm the only unattached uh-huh. female.
Mm-hmm.
That scientific observation
mm-hmm.
kind of.
Well, she was in his class,
yeah.
right? And she was a scientist. She was, yeah. She was.
No, I thought that was that's just
maybe
pretty funny.
Yeah. And that, of course, who knows if that's true? That, I'm sure, is a poetic fabrication.
Well,
you
know.
But, you know,
maybe
that rings true to me.
Or something.
I mean, I don't have any problem. I am not a stickler at all, but biopics, let alone any documentaries, have to, you know, be so truthful and tell things in order and all of that.
Yeah.
I'm with Michael Moore. You know, you mix it up and
what
make it interesting.
Talk to the kids before they made this
That
movie.
Would be interesting,
because
yeah.
I'm sure I would think all of them are still alive.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
You got me thinking about Michael Moore's next film. I'm a little concerned about it.
Well, what's
just,
his next
film? I don't know what it is, but he just keeps getting like
out there, yeah.
more out there. Poetic license on documentaries. I mean, the guy's
Well, ever since his first documentary, he's just played fast and loose.
That film's going to be called I Told You So.
Why didn't you listen to me?
Having a parody of himself, yeah.
So, yeah, I just thought it was so much better, and I'm grateful to this group for choosing it, even though it was we actually chose Hotel Rwanda and it didn't open. It was kind of a fallback film, but I really enjoyed it.
Well, I like film, but like Robert, I saw it a couple of months ago, but I just remember the performances were really good, and I gave it a thumbs up.
I think the thing about the poetic license is probably really an issue of media literacy. And it's like, I think people tend to take things very literally, and that's where the problem is.
We had one in the Marin group when we reviewed it in the Marin group. Remember Tim? He didn't hate it so much. He just felt, why the hell did they make a movie about this man, because the man basically was boring.
But he thought
what he did in the conclusion was worth a movie, but the man himself he felt was boring.
But that's what's interesting.
That's what we told him. How else can you get to the end of it? You have to tell the man's life story.
Yeah.
And that's part of the interesting tension of
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
there would be no tension if he was a swinger.
But he just kind of brought up.
There'd be no movie if he was a swinger. You know, he had to be the...
You Hefner does the kiss.
You Hefner. Exactly. That would be Hefner's story.
Two lives together.
And now we're going to talk about our second film,
The Aviator.
The difference here is...
That's right. We could have done two biopics and done The Aviator.
There's so many biopics now. You got to kind of pick and choose, don't you?
Yeah, well,
but The Aviator is definitely not this film goose.
Well, now.
Genre.
Mm-hmm. Well, but biopics, I think, are interesting. I've always been interested.
When Lenore said, it sounds like a Hollywood biopic, when she first mentioned Kinsey, I think that this was even before the last meeting when we picked it as an alternative. I was down on it for that reason. I thought, yeah, it probably is going to be something like that. But I was presently surprised. And I thought the movie was rich. It had science.
Mm-hmm.
It had science knowledge. It had a love story. It had a lot, like Mary was saying. It had a lot of points that it brought out very subtly. Didn't hit you on the head over it with. And it was just a really tight film. Almost every scene and every sequence fit together well and said something and added something to this film. And I appreciate that in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say
that basically I trust Laura Linney is so good now, and she's so good
at
every
film. You didn't
see
that other one, P.S. something?
What?
There's a movie she just came out this year, P.S.
Oh,
I think it's just P.S.
They said she's so good in both of them that they can't decide which one to put her up for an Oscar. That's what the early critics said.
Uh-huh, yeah.
She's even better in that.
Yeah, although it's not as good of a film, they said.
She absolutely shines. She's really, really good in it. She's so good that I trust that the decision she makes to be in a film is probably going to make it a decent film. Probably.
Well...
You know, which
I wouldn't say that of any actor.
Well, I wouldn't either. I mean, Sean Penn is the other guy, mm-hmm, I think comes to mind. Although, like, he's made a couple of bad films, and he's not a good director. But pretty much, Sean Penn's going to be interesting in anything he does, in my estimation. In other words, I want to see him in it. The film may not be great, but he's going to be good in it. And the film might, yeah, I don't know if the film's going to be good, but
yeah, a lot of people feel that about the one who played the retarded guy. Yeah,
I Am Sam. I Am Sam. That's not a very good film.
I saw it on video and I actually was surprised how good it was. Yeah.
It's not bad.
I Am Sam.
I thought
it would be horrible. It just sounded like it had Academy Award written all over it, you know. Like.
And his performance was good. Anyway, we're off the subject. But
anyway, we're way off the subject.
Yeah.
But there aren't many actors who can say that, because a lot of actors go from good
roles. Well, especially women, because the roles aren't as good for women.
Like Hilary Swank. She hasn't had a good role since Boys Don't Cry. And it's so great.